We're only going to want to look at one passage of Scripture, one verse of Scripture. So if you have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. We've been in a series, quite a long series. We've been going through the entire book of Hebrews. And we're in the last chapter amongst some of the last verses. I was enabling or trying to do more than one verse today so that we can finish this, but I'll only be able to look at this one verse. So, Father, we ask for the blessing as we read your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, to speak to our hearts. And, Lord, that the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, that it would divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Lord, that it would lay bare the thoughts of our hearts, everything open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do, your word says. And so let your word have free course amongst us, Lord, may it work your will and your desire in and through us, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you. Thank you, honey. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. Everybody said amen. Amen. Ah, got agreement here today. Hallelujah. Obey those that have the rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so in this passage of Scripture, actually in this entire verse, chapter, they mention leaders three times. The first time is in verse 7 where it says to remember your leaders. And those were leaders who had... leaders of the faith, leaders of the church who had passed on. And the writer was saying, remember them. In verse 24, further down, he says, greet those who rule among you. Greet those. But in this verse, in verse 17, it says, obey those who rule over you. Now, let me say right up at the front of this, that when the scripture says, obey those who rule over you, let me just qualify the type of leader that they're talking about, or better should I say, the leader that they're not talking about. They're not talking about leaders of the kind of what you see from time to time that take advantage of and fleece God's people, rob and all kinds of things go on, put videos, this poor rabbi in D.C. who put the camera in the Jewish bath and took videos of these women in his church, taking baths. And I mean, that's just, I'm not talking about that type of leader. You understand? And the writer of this epistle is not talking about that type of leader, because obviously you would not submit to someone who's engaged in that type of activity or who is teaching false doctrine and heresies and all kinds of weird teachings. You don't obey those. And so I want to make that clear. Obey those, he says, who rule over you. Now, when you hear the word obey, what does that conjure up in you? You know, because the human, he says obey because the leader has a will and you have a will. And sometimes our wills, you know, kind of bump into one another. There's the will of the leader, which ought to be the will of God. Amen. And then there's your will or my will. That word obey simply means to carry out or fulfill the command, order, or instruction of. Okay? So he says for us to obey those who rule over you and to be submissive. He didn't just say obey. He said to be submissive. Be submissive. Also, let me look at this word obey, or at least what the world says about it, because how many of you have been driving down the road and you've seen, I saw this years ago, you'd see a bumper sticker that said, question authority. Anybody ever seen that? Maybe I'm the only one seeing it. See it all the time. Those who rule over you are those who would have authority, those who would be in a leadership capacity or position. I just thought it interesting how the world says exactly would be the opposite of what the kingdom of heaven would say. What is interesting is that that phrase, question of authority, was coined by Socrates long, long time ago. And it was used by Timothy Leary during the Vietnam War to question the government and its upscaling of the war in Vietnam and sending so many over there. Timothy Leary gained influence among Western youth by advocating the use of lysergic acid diamethylamide, which was criminalized in the United States in 1966. Oh, by the way, that stands for LSD. He was telling people that you should just, you know, take LSD and forget all your worries and everything will be fine. And he said, you know, question what the authority, don't listen to them, and on and on and on. And a lot of people did what he said that they should do. It is intended to encourage people to avoid fallacious appeals to authority. The term has always symbolized the necessity of paying attention to the rules and regulations promulgated by a government unto its citizenry. However, psychologists have also criticized Leary's method of questioning authority and have argued that it resulted in widespread dysfunctionality. I think that would be agreed upon, that if you got everybody questioning authority, well, whenever the authority says we need you to do this and everyone starts questioning what the authority just said, no one's working together because everyone, there's no authority. I mean, no one's listening to the authority, right? And so in their book, Question Authority, Think for Yourself, psychologists Beverly Potter and Mark Estrin allege that the practice of O'Leary's philosophy enhances a person's self-interest. Thought that was interesting. Enhances a person's self-interest and greatly weakens the ability to cooperate with others. And so it wasn't a good thing, even though he tried to do something good that he thought was good. It wasn't a good thing by questioning authority. So he said, obey those who rule over you. This word rule means governing power or its possession or use. Authority. God has set authority in the church. Matter of fact, wherever there are two people, you know, there has to be rules. Amen. Which is why when God made Adam, even before Eve was created, he put him in the garden. He says, don't eat from the tree. Wherever there's more than one person, why? Because when there's two of us, there's something that could always happen. That where we would need some rules. Amen. But this word in the Greek, this word rule, obey those who rule over you, it means to lead or to go before. According to the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament, it means to lead or go before, to go first, or to lead the way. So what the scripture is saying is, obey those who are leading you. Obey those who are going first. Obey those who are going out before you. And if you've lived any amount of time and if you've gained any maturity or wisdom, you will appreciate that there are people who have gone where you're going. But there are people out in front of you who can say, hey, listen, I would be careful if I were you, because the road that you're heading down is troublesome. I'll never forget a comic that I read years ago that I saw have the images so vividly in my mind. It was a Charlie Brown strip. And in this strip, Charlie Brown was in a scout troop, and he was a Boy Scout. And but on this particular trip, they took Lucy. And so they had the picture. So here are all the Boy Scouts, and they're marching off into the woods. And while they're in the woods, they come to this certain clearing, and there's honey dripping out of the tree. Man, and everybody's licking their lips going, man, I'd like to have some honey. And so while the boys are about to go get some honey, Lucy runs from the back, jumps into the front, and says, ladies first. And she eats the honey. okay? And then the next caption, you know, is they're hiking and it's a hot day and they come to this water, spring water cascading off of this rock and this nice cool water, and the boys are thirsty and they're ready for to get a drink. And right about the time that they put out their cup, Lucy jumps to the front and says, "Ladies first." And then, and so when it came time to rest at night, and all the boys put their tents up and everything, it's about time to, they're trying to put their tents up. Lucy jumps to the front and says, "Ladies, put my tent up first. Put my tent up. Ladies first." And then the next day, they're going through the camp, and they come around the corner, and there's a mountain lion standing there with his jaws out like this. And the boys all turned to Lucy and said, "Ladies first." And so I'll never forget that there's a cost to being first. There's a reason why somebody is out front. And there's a reason why God said, obey those who rule. Obey those who are leading you. Why? And we'll see as he goes on, he says, be submissive. Why? Because they watch. They watch. Is anybody watching? Those who rule, or the leaders, are those who have gone before, who lead the way, who see the danger and guide you away from danger and that which is not profitable for you. I remember times growing up in the church. I got saved when I was 19, came into this church when I was 19 years ago. And I remember over the years having different pastors or guys on staff from time to time when they would have to come to me and say, "Brother Patrick, this needs to be dealt with. Because if you keep going that way, you're going to end up in a ditch." I said, And guess what? Sometimes I listened, and sometimes I didn't. Anybody ever been there? And so, after the writer has written this epistle, 13 chapters, he's giving closing remarks, and he's saying, listen, God has set some people amongst you. God has set some leaders, and it's interesting, when you look at a leader, typically, not always, but typically, your leaders are older. Lord knows, hopefully, they are more mature than you are. When I say mature, I mean spiritually. That they've been somewhere. They're not a novice. Come on, we could go to 1 Timothy and read about the qualifications of a bishop or the qualifications of a deacon. You know, the husband of one wife and all these things. And talking about not a brawler, not violent, hospitable, able to teach, on and on and on. But your leaders are typically those people that, number one, they're more mature than you, but God has put them there because everybody needs somebody watching for them. Listen, we have two eyes. They're situated in the front of our head. If you have an eye in the back of your head, you're a monster. Okay? That's what you are. I'm going to tell you right now. But I want to let you know this also, that you can't see what's behind you, but I can. I can't see what's behind me, but you can. When someone comes up to you and says, "Brother, sister, I see something," and you say, "Well, I can't see it. I don't see what you're talking about. What's your problem?" Maybe you might want to consider that the person can see something. Wasn't it Jesus who says, listen, he says, before you go to get the gnat out of your brother's eye, get the log out of yours. But now watch it now, because some people use that and say, Jesus don't ever want us to say something to anybody. No, that's not it at all. Jesus says, first, get the log out of your eye. Then he said this, then you will see clearly Then you will see clearly and able to help your brother get the gnat out of his. He didn't say you couldn't help anybody. He just said, be conscious, be aware of yourself first. Get yourself together. Deal with your own problem first, and then you'll be able to see clearly to help someone else. So, obey those who rule over you and be submissive. For, be submissive. That word submissive, to yield or surrender your will to the will of another. To the will, in this case, of a leader. And so if a leader comes and speaks to you and speaks some wisdom into your life, hear it. Listen to it. The word also means to cease to fight, to submit. You know, quit fighting. Quit. You know, person says something, I can't believe they came, but they said that to me. Who they think they are? I don't know. Look, quit all of that. Quit fighting. Submit. This is the word of God coming to us, right? So obey those who rule or lead you. That I like that rule over because it speaks to Acts chapter 20 and 24, where God said when Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders, he said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Overseers. Now, we at work, we have overseers. They're called supervisors. But we don't like them because they typically come and they look over what we're doing. And, they, you know, sometimes you have troubles with supervisors. But an overseer is one that looked over not to see what you were doing wrong. Not to see what you were doing wrong. Overseer looked over to see and to help and to guide and provide what is good. What is good. That's what a leader and a ruler is to be. And we'll, and that very term is alluded to, as we'll get to that in another week or so. But he says to yield and surrender yourself to one who is overseeing or looking out for you. Why? Why? Here's the work that he talks about the leader has. For they watch out. For they watch out. I just want to deal with that word watch. That word watch. One dictionary says that a Bible dictionary, that a watch was a time unit for the division of the night in both Old and New Testaments. You'll remember that in the Old Testament that they had that was called the night watch. You know, one psalmist said, I sing to you in the night watches. Right. In the New Testament, the disciples were rowing in the storm. And it says about the fourth watch. So in the Jewish system of things, they had three watches. In the Roman situation, they had four watches. And so watch usually would start like this. So at sunset until 10 p.m. would be the first watch. Then from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. would be the middle watch or the second watch. This is amongst the Jews. And then from 2 p.m. to like 6 p.m. would be sunrise again. That's called the last watch or the morning watch. And then you'll know in the New Testament that they had four watches. You'll remember that when they sealed Jesus' tomb, the Romans said, set a watch, set a watch. So the watch not only talked about time, but it talked about the guards themselves, that they were watchmen. They were to sit there and watch. And what this word, what's so powerful about this word is this word watch means without sleep, without sleep. Because in order to watch, you have got to be awake. Remember Jesus, when he took his disciples, he says, come with me and watch with me. And then he went off and prayed, and he came back, and Peter was asleep. He says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? They couldn't. They kept falling off to sleep. God has appointed leaders, elders, those in the church who stay awake up over your life, up over your soul. And they watch. They watch. This is God's will because God has ordained leaders. God has put these people in your life. And when they watch over your soul, when they see something that would come against the will of God and purpose for your life, the watchmen are supposed to sound an alarm. Is that right? Oh yeah, you're supposed to sound an alarm. That's why God has put them there. So The word literally means to abstain totally from sleep, to watch, to be awake spiritually, to be watchful and attentive to spiritual things. It's akin to God himself, where the psalm says that he that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. While we're sleeping, beloved, God does not sleep. He's constantly watching over your life and watching over mine, you see. And so then we see this same work in his leaders. For they watch out for your soul. So God has seen to it that someone is always watching out, not sleeping, who is alert for you. Those are your spiritual leaders. So when your spiritual leaders come to you, the writer is saying, when they come to you, when they teach, when they preach, when they exhort, obey. Be submissive. Let God work in your life. So Jesus even said to the disciples, he said for them to watch and pray because the flesh is willing. Excuse me, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's many times why Jesus, you remember that Jesus was watching over the souls of his disciples. Jesus was a watchman. He even told his disciples. This was Peter, James, and John now, the top three. When he went off to pray, he says, watch and pray. He said this, lest you enter into. He told them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. If you don't watch, if you don't stay spiritually awake, if you don't pray, then you will fall into temptation. Remember how Peter and all the disciples says, Peter said, Lord, I'll not only go to jail with you, I will die with you. And Jesus looked at that. And then it went on to say this. So said all the disciples. And so when they were going through the temptation, Jesus says, watch and pray. Because temptation is coming. And because they didn't, the Bible says this, that when all these officers and so forth, the Roman centurion army came into the garden, the Bible says the disciples all left him, forsook him, and fled. They all forsook Jesus, the very thing that they promised they wouldn't do. And so Jesus looked at Peter when Peter said that I'll never leave you. And Jesus said, is that so? He said, Peter, this night, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. But here's what he said. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. Everybody in this church right now was prayed for by name this morning. And because you were prayed for, you know, you can't pray for people when you sleep. You have to be awake. You have to be watchful. Well, this morning, and as I do every Sunday morning, I'm not tooting any horn here. I'm just telling you the way it is. Because of God's, that's what the Lord, the Holy Spirit has me do, is to pray over your life by name. Not just you, but your children and your grandchildren. And not only your grandchildren, but people you will influence this week. People who are in your circle praying fervently in prayer this morning over your life. Why? Because God has people watching out for you. Watching out. Now watch this. He says, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Now, I don't know what people think church is. People treat church like it's just a social event. Let's have some coffee before service. Got internet, Wi-Fi going on, and they doing everything, go to service, and afterward, birthday out the door, and then they're gone. And it's like, okay, till the next service. But no, that's not church. Church is a living organism. Church, listen, you are my brother and sister in Christ. We are members one of another. You can't separate us. You can't. Because we are in Christ. And if Christ is in me and Christ is in you, we're members one of another. We're connected. We're connected, and it's not just by, well, what church do you go to? Oh, I go to the one down the street. Hello. No, that's not church. It's 329. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to make it. Thank you. Got some saints up in here. Amen. Where am I at? Okay. So, but, okay, I see. But he said that, listen, God has ordained this church that we exist this way. He says this, for they watch out for your souls, listen, as those who must give account. Oh, my goodness. Now, I know when we go to church, people, they go to church. Well, let's go to this church. Let's go to that church. They're not thinking about this. It doesn't even factor in. Why? Because church is not about, it's not about him. It's all about me and my family. Does it have all the ministries that I want? Well, I don't want that. So let's go over here. That's not church. Hello. Oh, ain't nobody amening me now. I got one right here. Ain't nobody saying nothing. But that's not church. Because, well, you're like, oh, it's getting a little hot in here. But that's not church. Listen. God is going to hold those leaders to an account. That's a economic term. They're going to have to give an account. In other words, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, Paul says this. He says, first of all, a man who's going to be a steward, there's one thing required of him, faithfulness, if he's going to be a steward. When you're a steward, like in the scriptures, a rich man, he had this one steward where he gave his investments to, and it said, invest while I go away. The steward, everything that he had, nothing was his. It was his master's. And when he came, when the master came back from his trip, the master would sit down with the steward and say, okay, give an accounting of your stewardship. Okay? Well, the master, the Lord Jesus, came here. He planted a church. He raised up leaders, stewards, their pastors and elders. He gave to them his most prized possession. That's you. That he purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 20, 24. You're his most prized possession. Not your money. Not your honey. Come on. Not your car. Not any of that. You are his most prized possession. And so he gives it to the leaders, and he goes away. But he says, I'm coming back. And when I come back, we're going to sit down, and there's going to be an accounting. Now, people get nervous when the IRS comes to the knocking on their door. Because the IRS, they're going to look through every receipt. Did you really pay this? Well, that's nothing compared to when God. Listen, every pastor is going to stand before God one day and give an account. You say, do you know what that account is going to be like? No, but I know this. I'm going to be like, no. I mean, it's like, can you imagine that I have to give an account for you? I'm going to have to give an account. This is what I didn't say this. The writer said this. Now, listen, he says, obey those and be submissive. He's not telling. He's telling them to do that not only for, it would be good for the pastor, but it'd be better for you. Oh, I don't think you hear me. Let me say it again. It'll be good for the pastor when he gives this account, but it'll be better for you if you obey and submit to the leadership. Why? Because they're watching for your soul, who must give an account. So in Luke chapter 16 and verse 1, it reads this way. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. Now, if that was true in the natural, you would be upset. Someone wasting your stuff. Okay? Me and my wife own a business, and in the last few years, we have seen, well, in years gone by, we have seen people waste stuff. Not only that, we've wasted stuff. And then I had to come to be reminded by the Lord is that that's not your business. Ooh. Has anyone ever, Does God talk to anybody in here? I know he doesn't just talk to me. But he comes to me and says, that is not yours. No, it isn't. Not only that, he came to me one day and he said to me, the time, it's not yours. Wait a second. I know this is God. I'm like, wait, 24 hours in a day. Yeah, that's not yours. Now, he's not mean. He's not singing in a, he's not yelling the way I am now. But I'm telling you for impact because it's impacting me like this. I know we sing this song, but the wind of your mercy blow all over me. Let me tell you what else blows over you. Let me tell you what else blows over you. I don't know about the God you serve, but let me tell you about the one I serve. For he will let you know. He will let you know. I know I'm over my time, but I don't care anymore. We're going to bowl, and the bowl is going to be fine. But I got to say something. I'm telling you. Because he comes to me, and when I go to work, if I start to lollygag, I mean, if I start to just waste time, I don't know about you, but God gets in my face. Son, that's not your time. Hello? It's not your time. You can't just waste that time because I didn't give it to you to waste it. I gave it to you to be a good steward of, to make some progress in what I've given you. Now get on it, be about it. And so I'll be working like a little worker bee all by myself in my office, working like a dog. I'll be working like someone's over me with a whip. Not in a bad way, but I'm talking working. I'm working. I'm on it from the time I walk in the door to the time I leave. Not because I'm afraid, but because I got a revelation of the one who loved me and died for me, that if he gave me my time to serve him, then if I love him, I'll keep his commandments, John 14:15. So he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's not going to beat you into it. He'll just show you that you really don't love me. Oh, and that will... Ooh. Yeah, see, when the truth comes, and you really... And I say, oh, God, I'm sorry. Because you know how much he loves you. And you don't reciprocate in love. I mean, that'll tear your heart out. So it says that this accusation was brought to him that he was wasting his goods. So he called him. Can't imagine when this rich man called this steward. Come here. You know how it is when you're little, your mother tells you, go get the switch. Come here. Man, you start crying. You're not even there. Already crying. Got the tissues, not everything rolling, man. You're just bawling. And this man says, come here. What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship. That's what the man said to him. Give an account, for you can no longer be steward. I thought, man, any self-imposed medals, any things he had on his shirt, just ripped him right off. You can no longer be steward. So what did the unjust steward do? He went and what he should have been doing all along. He went to his master's creditors. He said, hey, listen, how much do you owe? How many barrels of oil do you owe my master? I owe 100. He said, okay, quickly, write 80. Write 80 and just pay something. And, you know, he went and he did all of that. And Jesus said this about the unjust steward. He says, and the master commended the unjust steward. He commended the unjust steward. Why? For being wise. For doing something. You know, because he was going to be put out of the stewardship so that when he was put out, these people that he helped would receive him. Well, I have a stewardship. And it's you. I have a people that I've been charged to watch over. And it's you. If this is your church, then I have a charge from God to watch over, which means pray over for me, because I can't watch over anything in my own strength, right? And so there was one man that name was Chrysaldom, said that he quaked with fear over the time that he would stand before God. Some back in the 1200s or something like that, of how it shook him to his core that he would have to give an account for people. So God has given church leaders the task of overseeing his people. They will one day give an accounting of that stewardship to God. Not only that, but Romans 14 and 12 says this. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Each of us. Now, we're not talking about leaders now. We're talking about you and I. Can you see it? I mean, can you see it? You're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account. Hello? And you say, well, what do you mean? How am I going to give an account? Well, God comes, he saves us. What's the, well, the number one thing that he's given us, the most beautiful, is eternal life. It's a gift. It's a gift, okay? But, the Bible also says that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, right? But then he gives us other gifts. And then he expects us to use those gifts. One day we will have to step before him. And be it the parable of the talents, you gave me one, I have two, you gave me two, I have four, you gave me five, I have ten. Or however it may be, but we're going to have to give an account. You will, I will, for our lives. Hebrews 4:13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. In other words, beloved, listen, when you stand before God and give an account, listen, any thought of exaggeration will be burned before it even gets in your throat. Come on. Any lie. Well, God, No. Everything is open and naked before the eyes of him. Yeah, I don't know. How am I going to give an account? Lord, you know everything. What am I to say? I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, it's the blood of Jesus. Yes, yes. So, will we do well by God, by the gift that he's given us, which is eternal life, amongst others? So obedience to the counsel of God coming from the man or woman of God is profitable, for it indicates that we're following the Lord through his ordained leadership. The rest of verse 17 reads, let them, those leaders, those rulers, let them do so with joy and not with grief. In other words, to give an account with grief would be along the lines of, Lord, I told them. Lord, I instructed them. Lord, I warned them. Lord, I admonished them. I have a pastor friend now. He's 80 plus years old. He had a man in his church. Man came to him one day and says, Pastor Dick, I've sinned. I've sinned against the Lord. And I've sinned against a man. And, Brother Dick was like, well, let's put things right. What did you do? Well, I killed him. Pastor Dick was like, what? I murdered him. I killed him. And Pastor was taken a little aback. This man standing in his office said, I sinned against the Lord. Be like, yeah, that is a sin, isn't it? Kind of. And so Pastor Dick said, okay, well, there isn't any sin that God can't forgive, and so let's pray. You know, and he prayed, and prayed with him. Father, I confess my sin, and I sinned in killing this man. And then when they got done with the prayer, Pastor Dick said, now get your things together, because we're going on down to see the police. And the man said, well, hold on, Pastor Dick. I thought everything's forgiven. After you said that, they said, oh, yeah, it's forgiven, all right, but I'm not the only authorities. See, I'm the spiritual authority. But now we have to go see the civil authorities, and they're going to lock you up and throw away the key. I mean, that's basically what's going to happen. But he took this man who was in his care, pastoral care, and he shepherded him properly. I mean, he oversaw his soul, prayed with him and everything, and then took him down to the house, and he confessed and everything. So, he's locked up for whatever, for the rest of his life, I guess. So, obey those that have the rule over you. And be submissive. For they watch for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. Let's stand to our feet. Amen, amen, amen. As we sing, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. One more time. Trust and obey. For there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word as it has come to us. May it bring forth life. Lord, may it bring forth healing and grace and all that you, our chief shepherd, Lord, have brought it, Lord, to mean, to bear upon our lives. So bless us as we go from this place. Keep us in Jesus all this day and all this week, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen, 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 and amen. God bless you real good.